Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to share screen with my PowerPoint. Just give me a second. So I hope you can see my share screen. Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. And we just would like to start this morning. And before I share what the Lord has put me in my thought, I'd like to pray. And let's just pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I've been praying what I should speak, and we pray that whatever I speak is from you, and that you will speak. It is your word, and is the scriptures is your word. We pray the Heavenly Father, those who hear it will hear it from you, and you speak to their heart. We kindly pray for our brothers and sisters who are ill. I think of Renata. We give thanks that for her hope in Christ, despite all the trials that she's gone through. We think of Sherry Thomas that as well. We commit all this to you. We think of Linda's parents back in China, and they need salvation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help. There's so many things that we should pray for. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you know all this, that you make intercession for all of us. We ask for your grace. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So I thought of what I've been, Harold contacted me, I think on Wednesday or Tuesday, and asked me if I could share something. I always say yes, but I'm not sure what I'm going to share. And to be honest, that my life was recently for these past few weeks was probably like the busiest I ever experienced with my wife. Is she had a broken arm, and I was working full time and taking care of the children, the young children. So it was tough, but by the grace of God, the past few weeks have passed. We continue to ask for His grace, and thank you so much. I need to acknowledge your help and your prayer, especially those who remember me and give some physical help to us. I cannot thank you enough. So the reason why I chose this topic, agape love, is actually, you probably know this. This is a very well-known verse in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's given some of the background that there's a news. The background is... It just knowing that there's so many divisions and among the nation, you probably know what happened to your country, and also not just in terms of our country, but also in terms of even in the church or Christian group, or sometimes in family as well. It just grieves my heart to hear all these divisions and some even like hated feeling. And I thought about, the ministry, some well-known preacher as well, like probably, Ravi Sagaraya, the scandal. And it all grieves my heart when I hear all this happen. And again, it's a good reminder that to turn to the words of God, and especially, about love. Now, a reminder as our role as follower of Christ, the scripture says that you are the salt of the earth. So what is the function of salt, and what does a salt works? We know that a food without salt is tasteless. And with salt, you would find that the food has some give taste. And it tastes good, and people are attracted, people like it, and people would think it's good. So if we are the salt, we should, you know, have taste like salt, and would actually be a fragrance or attract people to Christ. But the Bible says that if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? You cannot, you know, there's no seasoning. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So that's a reminder as our role as a follower of Christ. And the Bible also say that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. And in verse 16, it says that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's, I bold the word glorify your Father in heaven. The reason is when all this, the salt, the light, the focus is not on you. It's not, I remember a preacher says that, you know, at the end, you know, at the end of his sermon, the people will say, wow, you preach a good sermon. And he used this metaphor. It's like those flowers that people gave to him, he would collect it, all those flowers, and gave it to the Lord and give glory to him. Same thing that the salt and the light of the world is not to glorify ourselves. It's not that we are good. It's not that we do this not because of our own self, but it's because of Christ who lives in us. So we want to glorify our Father in heaven and all this. And the ultimate objective is so that they will see that why is such a change in us. It's not because of we ourselves. It's not because of educations. It's not because of character, but it's because of Christ who lives in us. And the Bible also says about that we are to be the ambassador for Christ. And what is the meaning of ambassador? I didn't know quite well the meaning of ambassador. I know in terms of the wording and the definitions, not until when I was out from my country. I went to Japan to study. And at that time, the school has a program. I was living in a city called Nagoya, they have Expo, the World Expo, they have exhibition from the world, and they want the children in the school to understand culture, maybe language, and from different countries. So I was sometimes had the privilege to represent my country and go to the school and to tell the children, the students, things about my country. And then I realized that, wow, it is a great responsibility to represent your country. Because what is the meaning of ambassador and what position we are in? We are, you know, in a country like Japan, I was the minority. And it's the same thing that we are ambassador for Christ. We probably are the minority. We know that the world, many of them do not follow Christ. So people are watching us. Students are watching me when I you know, tell them about my home country. They're watching me. And even like before I stand up and present my slides, they already started to watch me. Even after I finish, we have interaction time. They observe what I say. They observe my movement. So I say this is a great role and responsibility to be even more for Christ. I remember I had the privilege to spend some time with missionary And we know that in 16 Avenue Gospel Chapel, we have some missionary. One of them that I miss dearly is our sister Blanquita. My wife and I, we have, I think, a meal with her one time. So I was relatively new at that time as a young believer, I would say. So I didn't know much about missionary and what they do and how is their mission field looks like. So I asked a lot of questions to her, including just one question that I asked, like, what are the trials or difficulties that you face in your mission field? She told me this story, which I remember very clearly. And you know that Sister Blanquita has gone to be with the Lord. And she said this, after the meal, and we have maybe a tea or coffee. And she said this, that she heard one day, there was some gossip behind the door, but she could hear it. And some sisters say that, you know, this sister, like, is Blanquita, you know, really a believer, live up to the Christ standard? So it's like, so she is, when she heard that, she was, very sad. It's not because of her own image, but because she felt that she's not a good ambassador for Christ and does not live up to the standard of Christ. And it's so important that we want to speak well of our Lord. It's not about our own reputations. It's not about our own name, but we want to glorify His name. And that's the ambassador of Christ, that we want people to reconcile to God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last point I'd like to mention, and this is not exhaustive, there are more roles, but this is just a few points that I have chosen, is the body of Christ. We know that this is a mystery that Paul mentioned, in that we will become the church, is actually the body of Christ. And when you think about the body, about a body cannot be without head. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church and head of the body. So if we are the body of Christ and members individually, we need to represent the head. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is our head and asks us to do this, we should follow. And it speaks whatever movement, like when we look at a person, I cannot see what is inside a person's head, the brain. But through the movement, as I say, we always look at, you know, what these people did and how he behaved or how she behaved, then we can tell us more about Christ. So that's important that we be reminded that our role as a follower of Christ, as an ambassador for Christ in this world, and being the minority, and our role is so important that our work is to reconcile those who are lost to God. And this is also, it's important to remember that a good testimony is not only, to God, but also before Gentiles and non-believers too. This is the verse many of you probably are quite familiar with in the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. I'm going to read it for you. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. And this is the word from the Apostle Paul, letter to Timothy, and the same thing that he asks us to fight the good fight of faith. It's important to start well and to end well as well. Lay hold on eternal life. We know that we have an eternal life. We want to hold on this hope that we have. And this is a warfare. And the song that we sang just now, it's a fight of faith. Who do you trust? There are many temptations in this world. But we are called to what? To confess the good confessions in the presence of many witnesses. Well, in the sight of God and also before Christ Jesus. But it's interesting to read this, that the Christ Jesus is our example and our Lord, and we should follow him. And it's in this scripture, it says that before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, and you know Pilate, he's a Gentile, and even before a Gentile, someone who do not believe God, and we want to keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Watch, it says that, stand fast in faith. Be brave, be strong. In 1 Corinthians, let all that you do be done with love. It's important that to do all things with love, and people can see that. And to become blameless without spot until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. And we also remember in Galatians chapter 5, the first fruit of the Spirit is actually love. And I think about how true this is, the testimony of Christians. I remember that when I went back to Asia, whether I was in Japan, whether I was in Malaysia, when we share the gospel with our family, with friends, and often the hindrance, the objections will be, now look at, these Christians that I know, they say they are believers, see what they did. Why this Christian or this Christian group did such an immoral and bad things. And often, we know that people remember one wrong than many good things. So it takes more for a company, it knows that it takes more effort to undo the wrong. So that's so important for us to remember that we want to be a good testimony. And the word says that to confess, which you also call and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And the questions that I like to, focus on is, how can we have this love? And you probably know that where I'm going to turn to. I'm going to turn to the First Corinthians chapter 13. This is a very well-known verse. And even the non-believers aware of this verse about the love. But sometimes I often find that people do not truly understand what is the meaning, including sometimes myself. I need to be reminded of, the scriptures about love. And often there is some contentions in my life, or maybe some even division in my own family, with my spouse, also in my workplace, I tend to it's important to read the scriptures and help us to be more like Christ, because Christ lives in us. Now, let's read these scriptures. If you have Bible, you can turn to your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become sounding blast or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have no love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parrot itself and is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I remember I'm sharing this part of the scriptures in my wife's brother wedding. And they are non-believers. They're still not believers until today. We're praying for them, for this couple and our family. And also we use this, as a well-known verse in the Bible about love. But at the end, we say that, how could you have this love? Right, especially for couple. And that is the key thing. How could you have this love? Especially so important for the family and for husband and wife. Now, when we talk about love, in English, there's only like one love, the definitions are, or even in Chinese or in Japanese, or even in my home country language, Malay, there's only one love. But, the scriptures, New Testament is written in Greek. There's actually different words to describe love. And I turn to a book. Some of you probably have read this book before. It's called The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. This would help us to understand what type of love is being used in the scriptures. I find that there's some in my daily conversation, sometimes I find that, in these circumstances, in these particular circumstances, I need to use this language to express myself best. Not English, but, in a Chinese or maybe a Japanese. And same as we need to understand, what is the meaning of this love? And the King James versions, that is using the word charity. But as I said, throughout the times, over the times, the word has changed. And it meanings is not as the same as the original in the days in maybe like 100 years ago. So let's think about, spend some time to think about, all these, the four loves that's been used in the Greek language. The first one is a thought, is the empathy bond. So it's like liking someone through the fondness or familiarity, usually because of you have a relationship like family members or people who relate in familiar ways. This is the kind of love that you can have, this kind of bond because of familiarity of family members. Now, the second type of love is called philia. This is a friend born. The love between friends is strong and existing between people who share common values, interests, or activities. Philia. You can think about David and John Arden, that kind of philia love, the friend bond. The third one is the eros. Some of you know this, use it a lot in the world, but this is different from, you know, what is used in the world. There's some misunderstanding. This is on the romantic love is only one partner. It's not like several partners. It's only one person, one spouse. This kind of being in love or loving someone. I can think about the husband and wife relationship or boyfriend, girlfriend. But again, to not use this like in the context of the world that, you know, multiple partners. No, there's only one person. Eros. And the last one, the fourth one, is agape. And its meanings of it is, it's an unconditional God's love. Love that exists regardless of changing circumstances. Even like there's no relationship, like no family born, this love still exists. It's the unconditional. So you probably know that the word used in 1 Corinthians 13 is the agape, unconditional God love. It's not the other three. Perhaps I would think that sometimes scriptures use the relationship of father and son. That's probably the closest that we know. But it's beyond that. The love of a Heavenly Father to us is beyond storge. It's an agape love, unconditional God's love. Now, and one more thing I'd like to point out, it's interesting to find out that in the scriptures, in the 1 Corinthians, we have chapter 12, 13, and 14. We can see a close relationship between all these chapters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it discusses about the gifts that Christ has to his church. We think we can name all these different gifts like the apostle the apostle Paul says that we have a gift of different types of gifts that was given in Corinthians 12, including the gifts. Some have faith, and some would have the ability to the knowledge to share the word, and others hospitality, and different types of gifts were given. Now, in the next in 14. Is about how to use those gifts, including the tongue that is indicated, the tongue language is being described how to use those gifts in 14. Now, between this chapter 12 and 14 is chapter 13. And that is reviews the spirit which the gifts are to be exercised. So it's important that we know that how the gifts is given by the Holy Spirit, but very important that these gifts, as we read from the scriptures, are useless. That you have the strong faith, you can speak, you have the knowledge. Without love, it is nothing. So that is what he emphasized in chapter 12. The question is, we know this is the core. And the core of the ministry of God. Without this is nothing, as the scripture says, how to attain this agape love and who have this love? Well, the answer is only those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The non-believers, the Gentiles, will not have this agape love. And scriptures says very clearly in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And this agape love is not self-born. When you were born, you didn't have this love. We are Adam race. We are born as a sinner. We wouldn't have this love in our heart. And how do you have this agape love? You need to be born again, as our Lord Jesus Christ has said. And that is, how could you be born again? You need to die first to be born again. And I like this verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How could we have the love, the agape love that described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And these are the agape unconditional love. It's not including not your own family you have love for them, unless that Christ is in you and you are selfless, you no longer yourself, but the life which you now live, or we now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. And because he loved me and gave himself for me, because of that, I care very much about his name. What the actions, the word that I do, that I did, would it bring or shame or ruin my lost reputations? And our ultimate goal is to glorify his name, that we would be an ambassador for him, not a hindrance for people to get to know the gospel or come to the Father and get to know our Lord Jesus Christ. I can see that our time is almost finished. I'm glad that next week, I'd like to continue, and we're going to go into this, is just the introductions. We're going to go into the detailed scriptures about love, and as highlighted in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you for your time, and I'd like to end with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in this world, we can see that there are many contentions, divisions, and sometimes we can see the right become wrong, wrong become right. It's just chaotic and confusion in this world. But your word is always true and faithful. We pray, Heavenly Father, in time like this, we just turn our eyes unto you and your word, and help us to be more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to glorify your name, and we will say that whatever we do is for your name's sake. And Heavenly Father, we pray especially for this dying world, our family members, our friends, our neighbors. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they will find this hope. And we pray, the Heavenly Father, how we wish that you will get a broken family. We pray the Heavenly Father will turn to your words and ask for your help, that we would have this unconditional love, the agape love. It's only obtainable if we put our trust in you, if we put ourselves into death and we crucify it with Christ, give his life for us, and may he live in our flesh. May he be revealed and we put off our flesh. We ask your help, Heavenly Father. We know that we can't do this without you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will live in us and help us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, continue to help us to understand your words. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.